traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Welcome, race fans, show horse fans, quarter horse fans, breeding fans, all kinds of horse fans. We are in good shape today. Things are going great. We're getting ready to launch our How They Get There series. It's really going good. We're excited about it here. A lot of good things going. We made some decisions on who's going to be involved in it and how we're going to get to it. We're going to do a lot of things on how we get there today. We're going to talk about some of the big stake races coming up this Saturday. If you go to intv.org, we have Saratoga Live, races from Saratoga Live today. And later on this afternoon, we'll have Del Mar from California Live. So we're doing a little, changing up a few things here and there to make it a little easier for you to look at. But, go and watch Saratoga Live. And as a matter of fact, they're not having many entries into the races at Saratoga, so it ought to be pretty interesting to see what happens there today. But to get started, the Olympics are coming up on Friday. They'll be coming up here Friday afternoon start. We have a way for you to watch the Olympics. The FEI launches the Olympics website for the FEI horses and USEF horses. If you go to FEI.org, Olympic, it's dedicated to the Olympics and the Paralympics that'll be there. So that'll be good. Everything. We're excited about that. The first time in a long time that you'll be able to see outstanding world champions compete against each other in the Olympics. Over there, the Tokyo Summer Olympic equestrian schedule for 2021 is full coverage. Live stream of the summer events. The Tokyo 2021 Olympic Games will feature three equestrian disciplines this year, dressage, eventing, and jumping. It's the only sports in the Olympic Games that involves non-human animals, and also both men and women compete against each other. So that's going to be interesting to see. How everything fares on that. And the schedule starts out fairly good this year with television coverage. It's just excellent. It'll be on NBC Sports and, of course, FEI.org. But starting on July 24th, which will be, that'll be Saturday here, we have the Grand Prix team. An individual day one. On July 25th, we have the Grand Prix team and individual day two on there. So that's going to be starting this weekend, and it'll be exciting for all of you equestrians that are here at home to see what's going on with them and everything for those 2 days for the weekend. But I'm excited because of the TV coverage is just unbelievable. That they have here. On the 27th, they have the Grand Prix Special. That's a team event. They have the Grand Prix on the 28th, the Grand Prix Freestyle, which is an individual event that they'll have there. Then the dressage team and individual day one starts on July 30th there. So it's going to be quite a week full of impact. Horse dressage individuals, you name it, it'll be there and everything. July 31st, the team and individual day two. Then we get around to August 1st, which is cross country and individual cross country eventing. On August 2nd, we have jumping team final and individual qualifier. Jumping individual final are all on August the 2nd there. Then August 3rd, we have individual qualifiers. August 4th, August 5th, we have team qualifiers. August 7th, we have team qualifiers. So it's going to be quite an interesting you know, week or two here of equestrians, you know, at the Olympics. Every day is going to have something there for everybody that in our listening and viewing area that wants to know about the Olympics. It's going to be good. They've got the protocol down. The equestrians there are having a good go of it, we'll say. We'll say that. They got a good go going of it. They're staying away from the pandemic. And as a matter of fact, they actually spent time in Germany preparing for the Olympics, and they just recently, you know, arrived in Tokyo, which was a good smart plan on our Olympic committee here in the States. So we're kind of excited about the Olympics. We don't know who's going to win. There's a lot of good teams out there this year, a lot of experienced Olympians that have gone over. So we were kind of looking at some of the things that, you know, that they're going to have for us over there and the people that we're going to have. It's really, really exciting for me. I don't know about for everybody out there listening, but for me, it's going to be exciting. But, you know, the thing about the Olympics is it's so hard to keep a horse in shape, you know, to get there. You know, it just, it's tough. Nick Skelton just retired after months of winning the Rio individual gold medal, which was the seventh Olympic game, both for Skelton and Ben Meyer, who won for Team Britain at London in 2012 games. And later at the 2019 European Championships, Martin Fuchs clinched the second spot at the 2018 World Equestrian Games, just behind Germany's Simon Blum. McLean Lord and Breezy Madden won team gold medals at Athens in 2004 and Beijing in 2008. Olympic Games are now eagerly awaiting another medal at Tokyo venue. So, you know, we've got Olympians that have really done very well here, you know, in the past. Very, very, very well. We're very good, you know, about it. In the history of the Olympics, Germany is known as the most successful nation to win equestrian titles with considerable margins. Since German reunification, the nation has bagged a total of 34 medals, out of which 25 are gold and 13 silver and 14 bronze. So it just goes to show you that the European factor is very strong. Every Olympics, you know, you got to go in to beat them. At Barcelona, the Olympic Games, Isabel Wirth from Germany won the individual silver medal in the dressage team. Also at Rio in the 2016 games, she dominated West German dressage legend Rainer Klemek at the most successful rider in the history of the Olympics, with 6 gold medals, 4 silver, and at 5 games. So it just goes to show you that the European, you know, effect there is unbelievable. At the age of 51, Wirth claimed her 9th world title at the 2018 Equestrian Games and also a gold medal in the European Championships in 2019 in Rotterdam. Bella Rose won the last 3 world finals aboard Wingo Old, and also clinched team gold and individual silver medal behind former champion Charlotte Dungaren. Now, it is expected that the two Dungarens and Wirth will compete against each other and for the gold medal, forming and aiming for a 3rd consecutive individual dressage gold medal. Michael Jung is also eyeing to claim that hat trick at the Tokyo event, who retained his individual title at Rio in 2016. So it just goes to show you that the people that we have coming for the Olympics this year are just, you know, they're ready for it. And a lot of them get ready in Europe because the competition is so strict and you know, it's tough. It's tough to do. So be sure to tune in starting Friday to watch the Olympics, the Equestrian Olympics on NBC and FEI.org on there. So now we're going to go to my favorite part of the of what I'm doing here is we're going to talk about how they get there, the 2022 Kentucky Derby. What I've done, I'm going to set up a documentary that we're going to start out, and we're going to show people exactly how horses get to the Kentucky Derby. You don't have to be an equestrian to, you know, watch this documentary or, you know, enjoy it with us on every Thursday when we have our How They Get Their update. But the farm that I've selected to follow into the 2022 Kentucky Derby is Spendthrift Farm. Spendthrift Farm is at 884 Ironworks Pike in Lexington, Kentucky. They're very historical farm that they have there. You know, a lot of people don't realize how important a farm owner is and how important it is to have consistency in the programs that that are being implemented at Spendthrift Farm. Spendthrift is a great place. You can go to their website. It's www.spendthrift.com/index, and that'll take you to everything that there is to go at Spendthrift Farm. And it's a great website. Spendthrift Farm is one of the most historic farms in Lexington, Kentucky, with many of the all-time greats having passed through their barns over the years. Named after the great-grandfather of Man-O-War, the equine luminaries have graced the barns and fields of Spendthrift Farm. Triple Crown heroes, Seattle Slew, Affirm, and 9 Kentucky Derby winners, including Foolish Pleasure, Proud Clarion, Swaps, Decidedly Nashua, Dark Star, and leading sires, Caro, Raise a Native, My Babu, Gallant Man, and Exclusive Native have all called Spendthrift home. In 2004, Public Storage founder B. Wayne Hughes took over the owner of the farm, investing in capital improvements, including installing new barns, upgrading the main house, and converting it into an office. Many of the breeders in Kentucky have come to me and thank me for improving to try and, to bring Spendthrift to where its better days were. When the reality is that I should be thanking of them for breeding and for their horses here. Once again, making a historic place for thoroughbred industry, said Hughes. In a confirmed effort to put the breeders first, Spendthrift has developed a breeder-friendly program like Share Up the Upside and Breed Secure, which has revolutionized the industry and put power back into the hands of those who take much of the risk in breeding. 2012 and 2013, Into Mischief proved beneficial. These programs can be with top horses like Golden Sense, Magic, and getting giving those who invested their share of the upside of the program and a lifetime of breeding rights and promising young stallions. So that's one of the things that, you know, Spendthrift has really come up with, and they're innovating and they're trying to change things around, you know, for the industry. To breed 9 Kentucky Derby winners is awesome. And when we go into our interviews with them at Spendthrift, to find out how they're getting them there, they're going to tell us exactly how their program, you know, has adopted and adapted to, you know, the changing industry. The industry has changed a tremendous amount over the last 25 to 30 years. And what I like about it is the fact that we have people like Spendthrift Farms out there that are thinking about the breeding in the future. And that's where it all starts at, is at the breeding. You know, go to Spendthrift Farm. com, and you'll see what we're talking about. And then now to go to the second part of how they get there, and I won't ramble as much on this one because I'm pretty close to this trainer. And the trainer is Todd Pletcher, who we're going to select to follow to the 2022 Kentucky Derby. Todd's an amazing person. He has done a lot of things here over the years, and we're kind of excited about that. So far this year, Todd's had 512 starts. He's got 110 first, 85 seconds, 59 thirds. So that's unbelievable. He's got $11,337 in earnings so far this year, or $11 million, I should say, that he has in earnings. His career that started way, way, way back in the day, and it doesn't seem like a long time ago, but it is for a horse person. He started his career in 1996. And so since 1996, Todd has had 22,579 starts. He's got 5,147 wins, 3,634 seconds, and 3,022 thirds, for a total of $409,242,386. So he is just unbelievable in what he's doing since 1996 out there. Year by year, it's just phenomenal, the way he's going with his racing. Every year it's into the millions. The first time that we thought that he was really going to go somewhere was in his first year. His first year, he had 206 starts, 33 wins, 29 seconds, and 33rds. So he earned $1,129,000. So by all means and recognition, it was a tough go that first year. The second year, he started 365 horses, had 69 wins, 56 seconds, and 53rds. For $2,415,000. So, he started climbing up the ladder. In 1998, he had 545 starts, 109 wins, 86 seconds, 83rd, for $5 million. So every year on his starts, he started almost to double each year, to get his starts, up there. And he really started rolling along in the early 2000s. 2003 was a benchmark for him. He had 826 starts, 199 wins, and 105 thirds for $12,356. So he was really rolling right along there. And then as he got going, 2007 was a stellar year for him. He had 1,228 starts, 289 wins, 181 seconds, and 179 thirds for $28,116,000. So it just goes to show you the more starts Todd has, the better off he is than he has. In 2015, he had 1,224 starts, which was second to his 1,128 2007 starts, which earned him $28 million. So he's been climbing the ladders right and left, going up the levels, and he's got a great team behind him. They produce a lot of winners. He's got a great program. He's got great owners, like Spencer Farm is one of his owners that he has, that's out there. And so he's doing real good, and that's the whole thing about things that we're doing here on the International Equine Network and doing how they get there. Todd's going to be followed all year long. We're going to see exactly what he does and how he does it. And we'll have some good interviews with him. We got a good interview on intv.org now. If you go there and click on it, look at it, it's called Super Trainers, and you'll see exactly, you know, what he has there with him. So just go to that and take a look at it and see what's there, and let us know if you like it. And if you don't like it, let us know. That's all we're asking, you know, to do us there. That'll be good. It's exciting because we've got a good group of two-year-olds this year. Some of the races have already started here in the States. It's going to be a long, hard road to the Derby this year because we're not getting a lot of horses to enter in the races. There's a lot of things that the trainers are trying to get over. They're trying to get over travel logistics. They're trying to get over the COVID protocols. There's just a lot of things that they're trying to get over now, and it's tough. And it's tough to get a whole crew going somewhere, and, you know, they might get there and get stuck, and then you don't know what in the heck's going to happen with them. So, you know, that's what we're fighting now, is the remnants of the COVID factor. One of the things that I'm getting ready to do is try to find an equestrian that is on their way up in the industry. That's one of the things that we want to take a look at, to see how they're beginning, where they're going, how they're getting there. Those are the kind of things that we're looking at now. And if you know of anybody out there that would like to tell their story to us, just let us know. You know, we would be glad to air their story and see where they're going and how they're getting there. And, you know, talk to them. You know, it's easy to talk to people that have had success in the business. You know, that's an easy thing to do there. But now what we're trying to do is find somebody that's trying to get to that point of a Todd Pletcher or a spendthrift farm and everything. And it's going to be exciting to see who we get to call. And maybe we'll talk to some jockeys that are trying to get there. You know, and see what they're doing and where they're going and just, you know, go for it here. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit here about some races that are coming up this weekend. And we're going to start at Saratoga. And I can't find out any reason other than the condition of the racetrack. They've had a lot of rain there at Saratoga this year and everything, but on July 24th, we got the Coaching Club American Oaks Grade 1. Post time is at 3:23 Eastern Time. This is a fantastic race. I never did think that I would see this kind of money being put up, you know, at this time and point in the summer, but it's $500,000, and that's a good amount of money, you know, to have in there. The purse will be divided up 55% to the winner, 20 to second, 12 to third, and 6 to fourth, and 4% to fifth, and 3% will be divided up in the remaining finishers. But the hot part about this is this is a four horse race. This is a four-horse race for $500,000. And I just could not believe when I saw that on the draw. You know, a four-horse race for that kind of money at Saratoga, it's just unbelievable. Todd Pletcher has a horse in there. It's Malahat. Johnny Velasquez will be in the irons. All four horses are carrying 121 pounds. And Steve Asmussen has a Clary in there with Ortiz in the saddle. So this will be a good race. It's not going to pay a lot of money, you know, out for the winner. But, you know, it's just amazing. It's a four-horse race. Cannot figure that out. So I thought maybe it might be because of the rain that they've had up there. So now we're going to take a look on the West Coast, where they haven't had, a lot of rain. And they have a nice race out there. It's called the Eddie Reed. It's a very prestigious race. A lot of the big-time horses have won this. It's a $250,000 ad for three-year-olds and up. And it's going a mile and an eighth on the turf. And I was really impressed with some of the people, that have horses here in it. It's on the 24th. It's 5:30 p.m. Pacific time, which would be 8:30 our time here on the East Coast. The one horse that I like in here is Michael McCarthy, Smooth Like Street. He's a four-year-old colt. He's a nice horse. He'll be carrying 125 pounds in this handicap. So he's going to have a little bit more weight to tote than some of these others. But I think he's the horse to beat in the race. And then we have Flavin Pratt on United, Richard Mandela horse. He's carrying 121 pounds, and he could be right there with him. But Smooth Like Straight, I think, is the horse to beat, even though he's carrying the weight. I think he's really a good horse. And, you never can tell what will happen, with him like that. So that'll be an interesting race there. That's on the 24th at Del Mar, California. And then it's a good race card at Del Mar this week. Really surprised at it. We have the San Clemente Stakes. It's a grade two post time at 6:30 p.m. Pacific time, which is 9:30 Eastern time. The purse is $200,000 for three-year-old fillies. And this is just a loaded field here. I was amazed at how many horses actually entered into the race. And when I saw it, I said, well, wow. I said, how come Saratoga is offering more money for their races and getting less horses? I just can't figure it out in here. But this has a field of 12 horses. And, we have some outstanding horse flesh in here that'll be running. Richard Mandela, Piazza, he has with Fry in the saddles. Carrying 120 pounds. I think Richard's going to do good with this horse in this race. He is just a good trainer, got a good stable, and he's not going to run a horse unless he thinks he can win. And he obviously has pointed this horse for this race. So I'm really excited about that one. I'm excited about everything today, I guess. And then one of the other horses that I really have been taking a good look at here was Closing Remarks, with a nice horse. I think he's going to be closing at the end. I think that's what he'll be doing. He's a tremendous horse, and but the 12 post is going to be tough. But it's on the turf. It's going a mile, and he can get out of the gate and get to the wire and get to the rail. I think this horse could have a good trip on here. But that's a $200,000 for three-year-old fillies, 6:30 p.m. Pacific time, 9:30 p.m. Eastern time, July 24th out there. Then we're going to go to Pimlico. Pimlico's got a nice purse here, $200,000 for three-year-olds and up. And they're going a mile on the turf. And again, we get back to the East Coast, and we got a six-horse field, a very light field. I don't know what the deal is with all this going on. The horses that I like in this race, is Field Pass. It's Michael Maker horse. It's a four-year-old and a nice horse. Can go from the wire to wire, I believe, in this race here, carrying 124 pounds with him on there. And then we got a horse that I don't know much about. He's got Lynch in the saddle. It's for Mike Stedham. And his name's Pixelate. That's a 4-year-old colt. And I think this horse might be right and ready to run, you know, here. He's a city zip out of a mare from Ireland by Street Cry. And Speckled is the mare. And this is an Irish horse. The only thing that I have drawbacks on is any of the horses that are an Irish bred is it's a short distance. It's a mile. They're used to using running a mile and a quarter, mile and a half, and all. But that'll be good. But this is my lock on the race. I just do not see how this horse will be able to get beat. I just don't think it's going to happen. This trainer is Wesley Ward, and Wesley Ward has become a premier grass trainer here in the United States. He's gone over to England, and he's won in England. He's the first American to go over and just really turn it upside down in England, you know, at Ascot and also. But Ramsey Solution, and the only thing I don't like about the name on this is it's owned by Kenneth and Sarah Ramsey. And anytime you name a horse after yourself, it's usually bad luck on here. But I hope they don't have bad luck. And Sanchez is in the irons for Wesley. And it'll be a good race. And that's the Baltimore-Washington International Turf Cup. It's a grade 3. And post time is 4:31 Eastern time. You'll be able to see that on IENTV.org if you come to our website and go to Pimlico, and you'll be able to watch it there and everything. So, you know, that was a good trip, you know, for them there. Saratoga, like I said, Saratoga is light on racing. You know, I just can't imagine, you know, that happening. Now we're going up north to Woodbine compare them to the West Coast and East Coast here in the States. It's the Woodbine Stakes. It's $175,000 added. So they're going a mile on the turf. It's turf time, you know, here in the industry, here in the States and in Canada. They have a 12-horse field here. And, I mean, I tell you what, it's really a good field. It's going to be interesting to see how this fans out, because a mile on the turf at Woodbine is kind of a tough race to get. The track is a good track and everything, but it's just a little different there when you're running. And Mark Cassie has a Tap Petty in there. It's a Florida bred horse. It's a 5-year-old mare. It's got husbands in the iron, and he's at 15-1. But I like this horse because I think that the grass is suited for him, and I think this horse will lay in the mid-pack and finish well at the end if he can get into the mid-pack in a 12-horse field. He'll get out of it and not get trapped in on the rail or, you know, trapped outside, have to go the long way around. But that's Tap Pity for Mark Cassie. He's the number 3 horse in there, and I do really like that horse. He trains with the stablemate, Our Secret Agent. I think Our Secret Agent is a nice horse, and I think he will play some part of the you know, race in there. He might be a rabbit. He might be, you know, come from behind. But he's going to make an important part in it right there. And that's Our Secret Agent with Wilson in the iron. And then Mark is another one called Crystal Glacier with Sean Bridgemahan. He's at 8-1. I think that this horse could play another part in it, but I highly doubt it in here. He's just not that kind of a horse. In there. And then the other one, Abscond, it's got Stein in the irons, and it's Eddie Keneally. And Eddie Keneally's going up there, for a stake race. And Eddie's not going anywhere unless he's going to get a piece of the money. And I guarantee you, this horse we have up there, Abscon, he's a Kentucky-bred four-year-old filly, has Lasix for the first time. And that's going to be a big, big factor in this race. This horse is getting Lasix for the first time, and this horse will be running at the end. But that's Eddie Keneally with the number five horse, Abscon on there. So that ought to be, a great race to watch, exciting race to watch and everything. So that's pretty much it for the thoroughbred end of it, what we're doing here. Like I said, the Olympics are coming up starting Friday, and that's going to be exciting. I hope everybody tunes in for that, to see what's happening, there in Japan. Follow our athletes and support them. Support all the equestrian industry is what we got to do. And that'll be interesting to see, how the TV ratings and all come out for it. Just looking here at the third race, let's see. It's the first race at Saratoga. Baltimore Buckeye won the race and paid $780 in a small field. So it's going to be interesting, to see how all these fields and everything come out, here at Saratoga. It's good for the business because a lot of people are making money, and that's really exciting. They got a lot of fans there. They got a lot of things going on at Saratoga that you need to get up to, and it's a good vacation, to go to, with them and everything. So, but now we're coming up to, sales are getting ready to come up, and talking again about Saratoga and all the things that they have going on. We got the Saratoga sales. Fasic Tipton selected yearling sales August 9th and 10th at Saratoga, and it's a great place to go. There's a lot of good horses that come out of this yearling sale at Saratoga. It's something that you just have to go see. Back from 1918, Man of War sold it at Saratoga yearling sale. So, you're going through and you're looking at all the different horses that have sold at Saratoga, and it just blows your mind, to see the world champions and the Derby winners that have all come out of that sale. And there's another place when you get to Saratoga scene, Springs, Crossgate Gallery is a beautiful facility there that you can go to and see a lot of good paintings and everything there. It's a 509 East Main Street in Lexington, Kentucky. It's where the gallery is actually located at. But they've got a 25th year of exhibiting paintings and things at Saratoga. So that'll be good. That's the Saratoga yearling sale August 9th and 10th in Saratoga. The next sale that will be coming up for Fasic Tipton will be, let me look at my sheet here, coming up here pretty quick. It will be September 28th. That's the California Floral Yearling Sale in Pomona, California. The entries close July 1st. Then we're going to go to October Mid-Atlantic Floral Yearling Sale in Timonium, Maryland. And what I like about these fall sales of yearlings, it kind of gives you an idea of what they're going to look like. They're getting bigger, they're getting stronger, they're getting more attitude in the train. You kind of see how what kind of horse they're going to be, how they're reacting to the crowd at the sales and how they move. And, you see all those things that are there. And then that's October 4th and 5th. October 18th is the Saratoga Fall Sale, which is, it's been a lot of money in that fall sale because they know that you know, here in October. You know, you're just looking a couple of months away from, you know, being a two-year-old, and they can get them into training. And so that's a good sale. Then they have the October 25th, 26th, 27th, and 28th Kentucky October yearling sale. They've got a ton of horses in there. And that's a nice sale to go to. You can watch it on IENTV.org, or you can go to the sale. And I suggest you go to the sale because it's beautiful in Lexington in October. You have racing at Keeneland. You have the sale, and you can see a tremendous amount of horses, and you can get up and walk up and get close and in person to them. You know, you can get just within feet of them as they get ready to go through the sale ring. That's the October fall yearling sale at Keeneland. And then the next sale they have is November 9th, and that sale is a selected fall mix sale. You can see just a little bit of everything in there, broodmares, you know, yearlings, stallions, horses of racing age, you know, that type of thing. And then they close out the season December 7th in Mid-Atlantic in Timony, Maryland, with the Mid-Atlantic December mixed and horse of racing age in Timonium. That's on December 7th. So, you know, that's a good one. I wanted to go see. And then we forgot about the October 15th. This is for New York breds only. This is horses that are yearlings. And it's Sunday, August 15th at 7 p.m. And Monday, August 16th at 12 p.m. That's a great sale to go to. They had yearlings that have come out there. That just really shine. You have Tis of All that came out of there, won the Belmont Stakes, the Traverse Stakes, the Champaign Stakes, and the Florida Derby. You got Brooklyn Strong that came out of that race. You got a lot of nice horses that have come out of there, and it's interesting to see the ones that, you know, they said, oh, well, Kentucky breds are the best. But New York's got some great horses, and that's a great sale to go to Saratoga. It's free to the audience. You can go see what all they've got there, and you'll really enjoy the day. Now, getting back to the things that we're doing here, I'm really focusing on how they get their documentary. It's just phenomenal. We're going to have Spendthrift Farm as people that we follow. We're going to have super trainers starting with Todd Pletcher. He's the one we're going to follow, you know, on there. And then, like I said, in this documentary, you're going to see how the horses get to the tracks and how they fly on planes and how they travel on trucks and trailers and that type of thing. We even have horses over in Asia that have to be barged from Macau and from Hong Kong, to the airports across the South China Sea. So that, you know, that you'll see that. That's very interesting to see. And then the blacksmith that I've chosen is a friend of mine. His name is Steve Norman. And Steve has literally done just about any and everything you can do as a blacksmith in the business. He plays a lot of country music. He's a good down-to-earth person. He's even a better blacksmith than he is a person. And I know he gets mad at me when I say that, but that's true. This guy can come in and he can tell you, you know, what to do and how to do it. And one of the former employees that I had, was interesting. Steve came into the barn, and the owners told the trainer and everybody, he said, don't tell the blacksmith what to do. He said, just go in and hold the horse for him, take all the paperwork, get the opinion, and then let us know, you know, about it. Said, he's the blacksmith, and unless you've shod more horses and done better than he has, you know, we're not to say anything, you know, about it, because Steve knows what to do. And if he tells you to do it, then you do it, you'll have success on the track. He shot a lot of winners in his day, a lot of winners. He's a fantastic person and a great blacksmith. And then our feed digger, I decided to go with Hallway Feed. Hallway Feed is an international company now out of Lexington, Kentucky. They can feed your horse no matter where he's at in the world. They'll get the feed to you there, so that when you leave the farm, you're not going to be going to a different venue or a different country and having different feed. You're going to have the same feed that he gets at the farm, you know, at his home base, that he'll have the same thing no matter where he goes in this country or internationally. And so that's who we're going with, is Hallway Feed. So they'll be glad to sit down with you and talk feed for your horse, whether you have one or whether you got 100. They're good about that, and they know their business. And they've been feeding champions for years out of Lexington, Kentucky. That's Hallway Feeds incorporated in Lexington. And then we're going to take a quick trip through the equine sales. Really, when you get down to it, it's hard to say, you know, which sales company is the best. It's really tough because they're the sales and everything. Like OBS Sales in Ocala, Florida. Like Fassick Tipton Sales, Keeneland Sales, you know, the Magic Million in Australia. They're all good sales companies. And what we're going to do in that segment is we're going to try to walk you through what the owners go through. And it's kind of an interesting scenario on buying horses at the sales. You go in and you have plenty of people at the sales, and you might be, for example, bidding, and you've got other trainers and owners that are out there, and they're kind of keeping an eye on who's bidding. You know, they know the person that has a lot of money. If he's bidding, you know that, you know, he is probably going to win, you know, that bid on that horse, because he possibly has unlimited funds. You know, and you or myself might have limited funds. And so, you know, that plays an important part when you're in the venue at Keeneland or Fassick Tipton or Saratoga or the Magic Million in Australia. And so that's what we're going to do. They also have rooms that have, you know, that are private rooms where you can bid privately, and nobody knows who's bidding on that horse. So, you know, they can do that too. You know, so it's kind of interesting. Then a lot of times, sometimes a trainer or an owner doesn't want anybody to know that they're bidding, and they'll send somebody in, you know, to bid for them. And, you know, go from there. And so it gets quite interesting, you know, to see the bids and how they're raised and how much they're raised and what they go for. Will they go for $10,000 or will they go for $17,500 like Secretariat did? Or will they go for like $2.2 million, you know, like a lot of horses have sold for here in the past and everything? And then that'll be exciting. And then actually we get into the Derby prep races now, and we don't have those ready yet because some of the tracks have changed their dates. I know that Arkansas changed their date to 4 weeks from the Derby, and I believe the Fairgrounds is changing the Louisiana Derby to where it's 4 or 5 weeks prior to the Derby. And that's going to be interesting, you know, to see how they do that. You know, how the trainers adjust to that, because for years they've been going, you know, the same way with the races and the same dates and, you know, the same everything. And so you kind of get into a routine, you know, mentally when you're training your horse. But now, you know, here late in the game, we've had a couple of tracks change, you know, the race dates. And so that's a whole different ball game. You know, if you want to win the Arkansas Derby, you're going to have to change your racing dates, your workout dates. You know, you're just going to have to change. And that's the tough part is, you know, there's a lot of races just a few weeks before the Derby, like the Bluegrass, which this is a few weeks before the Derby. And there's a lot of money out there. So, you know, as an owner and trainer, you got to start thinking, you know, well, you know, they're prestigious races. There's a lot of money. Where do I go? You know, and right now, in the fall, getting ready to go into the wintertime, you know, you got to start laying out your race projects. And one of the things that I like about it is each track usually has several races that lead up to their signature track, like the Florida Derby. They have the Swell Stakes, they have the Fountain and Youth Stakes that you can run in leading up to the Florida Derby. In Arkansas and Hot Springs, Oakland Park, you have the Southwest Stakes and then the Arkansas Derby. You know, those are kind of races that you point for to get your horse ready and get in line. And the thing of it is, it's got to be consistent. You know, you can't burn a horse up going into a big race by running him too many races prior to the Derby. You got to space them out. So this is going to be a big game changer, I think, for the Kentucky Derby this year. Those two races moving, and all, and that leads us into the final part of how they get there is a decision to run in the Kentucky Derby. You're going to see all these horses that come out, you know, like 4 weeks before the Derby, they run in the Arkansas Derby, and then can they recover 4 weeks later? You know, that type of thing. You get into that, to that rhythm of, you know, 4 weeks Arkansas Derby, 4 weeks Kentucky Derby, 2 weeks Preakness, 3 weeks the Belmont. And all those races you have to change, you know, train for. They're at different distances and they're different tracks. And, you know, it's tough on a horse, you know, because you get into a series and going to the Derby, and you might have to run your horse three times in 2 months, 3 months before the Derby, and then, you know, make the decision to go on to the Pimlico from the Preakness and then the Belmont Stakes. So there's a lot of decisions that have to be made, you know, to run in the Kentucky Derby. And then finally, you know, we get to the Kentucky Derby, which is the first Saturday in May. It's just an awesome experience. I've experienced many times as a horseman when people that I work for ran horses in the Derby. And there's just an excitement about it. Two, 3 weeks before the Derby, you get that Derby fever. And it carries over into the barn and the excitement and the owners. And things really change that week going into the Derby. You get a lot of owners. You get a lot of press. You get a lot of people. You get a lot of things going on. And the horses actually feel that, you know, that presence of all the things that are going on that normally don't go on, you know, at a racetrack. You know, when they go out in the morning, there's a lot of people out with the photographers and video people and just, you know, the fans that are visiting there. And the horses know that. And that takes a little bit out of them. They get wound up a little bit, and they'll take a little bit out of them. And also that's, you know, one of the things that we're looking at here at the Kentucky Derby. It's a great week. Kentucky is the only state I know that where the week is 10 days long. And the reason I say that is because of the Kentucky Derby Festival. The things that they have there during Derby Week, Thunder Over Louisville, the boat races, the balloon races, all the different things that they have, the parade, you know, it's just a great time to be in the horse business and be in Kentucky and go and enjoy things. And it's all family rated. It's just really good, you know, for them there. So that's the first Saturday in May. And I was so excited to find out that my medical situation is in remission. And so I was excited about that. And now it means that I probably will get to go to the Kentucky Derby this year. I hope I can get back to that. I haven't been in quite a few years, so I'm going to do that. And then the other exciting thing that I have to announce is that I got involved with a company called MyRacehorse.com, and they sell shares into horses. And if you go to our website, you'll see the link to MyRacehorse.com. And what I like about that is the fact that you can spend very little money to buy into a syndication. You can read all the things that are there. So your initial investment is just the initial purchase price of a share. And so then you can go onto their website and see what all that they what they have to offer and everything. And it's really nice because no matter how small your share is, you're still an owner, a part owner of a horse. And that means that you get your racing license and you can go to the racetrack as an owner. You have all kinds of accessibility to, you know, the paddock area, to the clubhouse, to all the amenities that the owners get. And if you go to myracehorse.com, you can buy today. And I'm telling you what, it's exciting for me to get into it because I've owned broodmares before, but never any racehorses. And also, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how I do and, you know, where we go with this horse. And the horse that I got is trained by Todd Pletcher. He's a nice, a real nice horse. He's out of a very good mare and everything. And he's a distorted humor horse, which I worked with at Windstar Farm when I worked there. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how this comes out. But, you know, the great part about it is you're a part owner, and you can go to the track as a full-fledged owner. The name of the horse that I have is two shares in is Silver Pocket Full. It's going to be interesting to see how he comes around and, you know, where we go with him and be a part of him. You know, so you guys get out there and go to myracehorse.com and see exactly what's going on with him in there. It's Silver Pocket Full. He's trained by Todd Pletcher. He is a really nice-looking horse. And what I'm excited about is to see how he does his first time out. That'll be in about 3 months that he'll be there. So we're getting down towards the end of the show. I rambled on a lot. I know it had you all over the place, all through the horse show industry. But just remember, we're trying to get people out to the horse industry, to the polo fields, to the show horse fields, to the sales, to racing, to the Olympics and everything. So, you know, it's a good family thing to do. And we ask you to come to intv.org. And see what all we have. And on next week's show, I'm giving away a free one-year membership to Shep.com. Shep.com delivers home delivery, food and groceries, whether you're at the farm, whether you're at the show horse event, camping, or wherever you're at, they'll deliver to you. So that's free year's membership I'll give away if they phone in or email us. So this is Scott Miller wishing everybody a good equestrian week. Watch the Olympics, and we'll see you next Thursday at 1 o'clock.